Does the Bible talk about going to church? Does the Bible speak about Christians coming together to worship God in a public setting? Does the Bible teach us congregational worship? These are the questions that we're going to be looking at in this lesson today. Now, we've been talking about the church, and in this set of lessons, we're talking about the worship of the church. This is very important, and the Bible does talk about the public worship of the church. But we want to show today that the Bible does indeed speak about this topic. There are people today that don't believe the Bible even addresses this. There are people today that say that really going to church, the idea of public worship assemblies, is just some kind of human tradition, that the Bible really doesn't talk about it. It's just something that men have invented. But we're going to look at several passages in the Bible that do indeed describe and teach this idea of public worship in the New Testament church. Now, I realize also that some might have a problem with the expression going to church. Because when some people say that they're going to church, they mean they're going to the church building. And it is true that the Bible never refers to the church building as the church. However, the Bible sometimes does refer to the worship assembly of the local congregation as church. So if we mean by the word church, the worship assembly, and we're going to look at some of those passages in just a few minutes, then it is proper to talk about going to the church, that is going to the church assembly. So let's look at a few passages, and we're going to begin in James chapter 2, the book of James chapter 2. Again, the question is, does the Bible really talk about the worship assembly? Does it really support the idea of going to church? James chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and then James goes on to talk to them about being partial to rich people. But we're going to stop right there because the point that we want to observe is in verse 2. He talks about a man coming into your assembly. Now, in the first place, he says this is your assembly. Who is he writing to? He's writing to these Christian people. And he talks about these Christian people assembling. They have assembled together, and he talks about the different places where people sit in that assembly. Now, he didn't have to tell them what that assembly was for. He didn't have to describe for them what kind of assembly he was talking about. These people knew that there were different kinds of assemblies in public. There might be public meetings of different kinds. But he talks about your assembly, the assembly of Christian people in that congregation. So the Bible here tells us that these Christians were in the habit of assembling together regularly, so that when James writes these words, everybody understands what he's talking about when he talks about your assembly. Now, if the idea of going to church, if the idea of assembling together for public worship is just some kind of man-made tradition, and it's not really in the Bible, then why do we read these words? Here the Bible assumes that these people understood what James was talking about, and rightly so, because they were in the habit of doing this. Now let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to look down at verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. This is in the midst of a long exhortation that the Hebrews writer is giving. And after he tells them in verse 24 to consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, he says this in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now, what did he say that they were doing? He says that they were assembling themselves together. And what does he tell them not to do? He says, don't stop doing that. You keep on assembling together. And do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And he says, as the manner of some is. The word manner there means a custom. It means a habit. Some people were in a habit of forsaking the assembly. Some people had the custom of not going to these worship assemblies. Now, here's a question. If these worship assemblies were not being held on a regular basis, then how could anybody be in the habit or the custom of forsaking them? The very fact that there were some people that were repeatedly, continually missing these services shows that these worship services were being continually and repeatedly and regularly held. Now, I know that that's simple reasoning. I know that that's a very basic point. But again, we're going back to the basics. We're going back to the very foundation of the church. And one of the stones in that foundation is the worship of God in this public setting, the worship assembly of the church. So in Hebrews 10, verse 25, the Bible plainly says that these people were assembling themselves together. And the Bible also plainly tells us here that it is our duty to be in that assembly, that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So when somebody says today, well, I think that's an option. I don't think that that matters. I think that I can please God just as well on my own in private by having my own personal Bible study and prayer and doing whatever I want to do in an individual way as I can by going to the worship assembly of the church. And yet the Bible tells us that that is not true. That God requires that we be in the public worship of the church. Now, I realize that there's also another extreme here. There's the extreme where you have some people who seem to think that all they have to do is to go to church, and that's going to make them automatically all right with God. They go to church, they sit through the worship service, and they do whatever they want to during the week. They live a sinful, an ungodly, and a hypocritical life, and then they come to the church building. Well, that's just as wrong as the other extreme that we started out with in this lesson. Some people have the idea that you don't have to go to church at all, and other people have the idea that all you have to do is to go to church regardless of whether your heart is into it or your life backs it up. Now, both of those are false extremes. In the middle is the teaching of the Bible, and that is our life has to be right in the sight of God, and we're also required to be in the worship services of the church, because the Bible plainly tells us here that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That means that if we do forsake the assembling of ourselves together, then we've sinned, because we've gone against what the Bible says here in Hebrews 10, verse 25. Does the Bible talk about going to church? It absolutely does. Let's turn next to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 20. The book of Acts, chapter 20, and we're going to look down at verse 7. The book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 7. Here the Bible says, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight." Here the Bible tells us that the disciples came together. Now these are Christian people. And they have come together on the first day of the week. And there is a reason why that they came together. Notice this very carefully. The reason why they came together was to break bread. Somebody said, well, that could be a common meal. Why does that have to be the Lord's Supper? Because this is a religious setting. This is a religious service. Notice that the Bible says they came together for this reason. They came together to break bread, and that's an expression about the Lord's Supper, because he took the bread and he broke it. And so sometimes when the Bible describes the Lord's Supper, it describes it as breaking bread. But notice also that the Bible says that Paul preached unto them in verse 7. Paul preached unto them. So this is a setting where the Christians have come together, they have assembled together, they have the Lord's Supper, and they have the preaching. Now, obviously, they're going to have the singing, they're going to have the prayers, they're going to have all that is involved in the first day of the week assembly, but these things are mentioned specifically here. But I want you to notice again that when anybody questions whether the Bible talks about coming together in the worship assembly, if anybody has a doubt as to whether the Bible really talks about this, Acts 20, verse 7 ought to settle that issue. The next passage that I want to look at is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, And when you turn there, look down beginning in verse 17. There are more specific references in 1 Corinthians 11 to the assembly of the saints, the assembly for public worship, than any section that I know of in the New Testament. I want you to notice how many times the Bible talks about these saints coming together. And they didn't come together for just any reason at all. They didn't come together for just any kind of purpose. They came together to worship God in the church assembly. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17, Paul said, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse." Because of their attitude and the way that they were treating each other, Paul said, "You don't come together for the better, you come together for the worse." Notice that he says in verse 18, "For first of all, when you come together in the church." Now the word church there is not the church building, it is the church assembly. So in that sense, it is right for us to talk about going to church because you come together in the church, that is, in the assembly. So Paul then, again, in verse 18, talks about the church, and he talks about coming together. And then in verse 20, he says, "When you come together, therefore, into one place." Now that definitely talks about the assembly for worship. These Christians, he says in verse 17 and 18, and also in verse 20, were coming together, and in verse 20 he says, "You've come together into one place." They're not scattered around. They're not separated. They've come together into one place because they're going to offer their worship together as a group. He says, "When you do that, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper." Well, it wasn't in their case because they were abusing the Lord's Supper. They should have been coming together to have the Lord's Supper, but instead they were having their own meals. In verse 21, he says, "For in eating, everyone takes before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken." So already in this section, three times Paul talks about them coming together. Now, folks, that is the assembly that we're talking about. Now let's look down at verse 33 and 34 because there Paul says, "Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation." Did the Corinthians know that it was their duty to come together in the worship assembly? Yes. When Paul wrote to them in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 18, and he said, "When you come together in the church," did they know what he was talking about? Did they understand what that coming together was about and what the church really meant in that passage? Why, of course they did. Let's turn last of all to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we're going to look down at verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23 says, "If therefore the whole church be come together into one place." And then in verse 26, he says, "How is it then, brethren, when you come together?" 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23 and 26. So we ask these questions. Does the Bible talk about going to church? And does the Bible teach that it is our duty to come together in the church to worship God? These passages say yes to both of those questions.